It does say hi.
Hi. All right, does everyone know where we are in your books? What page did it end up being?
Page 9.
Okay. So God's voice, we're talking about God's voice tonight. That God does indeed still speak. And what does that mean? What does that look like? Especially how does that impact, you know, how we do things at Grace Chapel? And we'll walk through it just one line at a time. Number one there, the good news is that God does speak. You know, this is the great distinction between Christianity and every other faith is a personal relationship with God. There is no other religion on earth where you have a personal relationship with God. And this Jesus is alive. He is risen from the dead, and he still speaks. And we actually can learn to hear his voice and know him. Number two, Jesus affirmed the reality that God speaks. Even though he being God, was saying, hey, listen, look in John 5:25. The time is coming and has now come. He who is of God hears God's words, John 8:47. Everyone who is of the truth hears my voice, John 18:37. And my sheep will hear my voice and follow me, John 10. So Jesus actually affirmed the reality that God speaks. Speaking is a specific ministry also of the Holy Spirit. John 14:26, it says, he will teach you, referring to the Holy Spirit, and bring to your remembrance, he will bear witness of me, from John 15:26. I will send him to you, John 16. And he will guide you into all truth and declare to you things to come. How many of you, you know, really felt like, all right, I feel like God has spoken to me. Like, I'm just kind of, about something specific. What's going on in your life? Okay. And it's like he's guiding you, he's leading you. Very rarely is that a audible voice, you know. It is often a still, quiet voice. But it's very other than what your own voice would sound like. In fact, in my personal experience, it almost always is surprisingly other than what I would have come up with on my own. When God speaks, he surprises me every time. And, you know, I think that's one of the ways that you kind of know that God's speaking. But the Holy Spirit speaks. God wants to speak to us today, not just in the past tense or when we get saved, but he wants to continue to speak to us in the present tense, what's going on in our life right now. You know, people have, you know, said, you know, someday when I get to heaven, I want to talk to someone like, I want to go up to Moses and say, what was it like to, you know, talk to God, or walk up to Abraham and say, you know, what was it like? And they're just going to look at us and say, what was it like to have God in you? The Holy Spirit available all the time. Did you just talk to him all the time? Right? And it kind of is a shocking thought. It's like, man, God is speaking to us now, and that's available to us, and we can actually speak to him. And it's not just something far off. He wants to speak to us today. He speaks in different general ways. So here's some specific ways. There's the prophetic, which pertains to that which is written, spoken, seen, heard, or experienced. The intuitive, which pertains to that which is inwardly sensed, known, or deeply felt. That's kind of what I was describing. And then there's the rational. It pertains to that which is understood, thought, remembered, or deduced from natural observation. In fact, the heavens declare the glory of God. We can look up in the sky and know things that God is saying just from looking around. And I remember I was babysitting this. I was actually a nanny, okay, in Bellingham, Washington. And I was a bodyguard / nanny for these kids that they'd come out of the mob, and they were living in Bellingham. And so I would protect their kids from being captured from their people that were in the mob that still wanted to get these kids. So this kid, I mean, they are atheist Jews. They did not talk to their kids about. They didn't want their kids to know anything about God. They were very, staunch about it. And I'm pushing this kid on the swing, and he asks me. He's like, Jim, do you believe in God? And I'm like, yeah. I mean, he's like 7 years old. You know, I believe in God. And he's like, I've been thinking. And he's like, there had to have been something before everything else. Wow. Right? There had to have been something before everything else. And I just thought, wow. Even like a kid can go, this didn't just happen. I mean, they can just look around. God speaks through the natural. He speaks through creation. The rational, you can get there. Don't be afraid of science or logic. It will get you ultimately to God. So God speaks in different specific ways. Number six. So there's the audible voice. You know, the Charlton Heston, God speaking, you know, out of the burning bush, audible voice. There's angelic revelation. Yeah, yeah. Look under your seat, you just won. No, the specific ways. All right, so then, should we just keep going? Yes. Okay. Angelic revelation. Did I say that one? God speaks through an angel. That happens actually quite a bit, and it's usually, I guess, pretty terrifying because almost every time, what's the first thing they say? Don't be afraid. So apparently, angels are scary. God speaks through angels. Impressions. An inner sense or urge to say or know something. You just feel like, you know, it's like that God thing on the tip of your tongue. I really feel like I need to say this to someone. Mm-hmm. Where did that come from? That's sometimes God speaking. So then what about pictures? You know, have you ever just seen like a picture and you feel like God's speaking to you? It's like you got downloaded a photograph. It's kind of unique. Yeah? Okay. God speaks to you through pictures, just kind of an image or visions. You know, we have a really good example of this when Peter doesn't want to go hang out with the Gentiles. And so God gives this vision of all these foods that you're not supposed to eat. And he says, eat them. And it says he's in a vision and he's like going, no, I'm not going to eat all those bad foods. And God actually spoke to him through a vision. It doesn't say he was asleep. It wasn't a dream. And it wasn't like that was really happening. Does that make sense? A trance. It's a vision in which you play an active role as if you're in a movie you're seeing. In your mind, you're actually seeing like a movie. Dreams. Very common way that God speaks. Have you ever woke up and thought, whoa, that was a crazy dream, and then you don't remember it 20 minutes later? I recommend writing that down. Just as an encouragement. If that is one of the ways, and one of the primary ways even, that God speaks, wouldn't you want to remember later what he said? But I guess if you're just thinking, well, that was just random, that's what I ate last night for dinner, or that, you know, it's not related to anything. But you know when it's just very vivid, it's not that normal dream that, you know, it's like, it's very vivid, and you're going, take a second and think, is God trying to speak to me? Through a dream. Scriptures is one, I would say, probably the primary way, the central way that God speaks is through the scriptures. In fact, God's voice actually spoke to me, and probably a turning point in my whole life, just one thing. He just said, John 9. And so I went and looked it up, you know, and God spoke to me from what that story was about. God speaks through scriptures. Any questions so far about the different ways that God speaks? Any of those kind of jump out as a surprise? Like, I'd never thought of that one. That seems kind of, that's out of my realm. I've never thought of that one. That seems a little kooky. That seems a little weird. Anybody? Is that kind of out of your comfort zone, or you've never heard of it?
Trance,
yeah, I've never heard of that, right? So it's like you're seeing something happen. Is there any examples of that in Scripture, of a trance? Revelation, that's a great example. It's not actually happening, right? But he's seeing it happening, playing out like a movie. It's a great example. It really does. Visions, sure. Pictures, impressions. Yeah, absolutely. What would that have been like to see and write down? I mean, how would you? I mean, it blows my mind. So, God's word is the standard. You see that part right there? God's word is the divine expression of God. In John 1, it says, "In the beginning was the word. And the Word was with God, and the Word was God. He was with God in the beginning. Through him all things were made, and without him nothing was made that has been made. The Word became flesh and made his dwelling among us. We have seen his glory, the glory of the one and only Son, who came from the Father, full of grace and truth." So, the word in Greek is logos, which means it's the same thing as word, right? Something said, you know, the divine expression of Christ, that he was actually the Word in flesh. So God was making the Word flesh for us to even see. God's Word upholds all things. So let me read this. He's the image of the invisible God, the firstborn over all creation. For by him all things were created that are in heaven and that are on earth, visible and invisible, whether thrones or dominions or principalities or powers. All things were created through him and for him, and he is before all things, and in him all things consist. Who's he? Yeah, Jesus. God's word upholds all things. God's word is profitable for knowing the Father. The word of God is truth. The word of God is alive. What does that mean? It's alive. I mean, it doesn't move, like it doesn't climb out of the drawer, right? What does God's word is alive mean? It applies to your life every day. It's still relevant. It's not something back there that happened. It's full of life. Yeah. I think it definitely impacts you in fresh ways. The meaning doesn't change. But you're reading this one same thing that you've read 10 times, and and then you read it and you go, oh my goodness, I never saw that. God's speaking to me. It was there before, right? But you couldn't hear it. And so in a way, that God's word like kind of clamors for your attention at different times in your life. God's word stands forever. So heaven and earth will pass away, but my words will by no means pass away. So this is even eternal. The things that Jesus said that were written down are actually never going away, even after everything. God's word causes us to be born again. What does that mean? Through the word of God, which lives and abides forever. You see that in the scripture there? All flesh is as grass, and all the glory of man as the flower of grass. The grass withers and its flower falls away, but the word of the Lord endures forever. Never goes away. It's the good, the bad, and the ugly. Is that what that is? So God's word causes us to grow. Causes us to grow. Have you ever heard somebody say, you know, you really need to read your Bible every day? Anybody ever told you that? Is that good advice?
Yes.
Is it? Why? I mean, why not read it every 3 days or once a month?
It's like food for your spirit.
Just like food?
For your soul.
Yeah, you need doses. You can't take it all at once. So it actually helps us to grow. It is inerrant. This is important for the heart of this church. If the Bible says it, then we're going to teach it, and we don't think that it's been changed or that there's errors in it. There might be a comma in one text that wasn't in the other, but nothing that changes the meaning of anything. So it is absolutely inerrant. It has no errors in it. Make sense? God's word is reliable. Sixty-six books, 39 in the Old Testament, 27 in the New Testament, written by 40 authors in three languages from three continents over the course of 1,600 years with one central theme. Isn't that wild? In fact, if you were reading the Bible for the first time, I would encourage you to study the life of Jesus first. Really know Jesus. And go back to the Old Testament and just see how he's everywhere. Instead of connecting the dots later. And you just see Jesus, 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 Jesus all the way through, all the way to the end. It's amazing. And then the epistles are talking about Jesus, and the Old Testament's pointing to Jesus, and then you really know Jesus. So it's amazing that many different people all coming together in one perfect book. So no ancient historical manuscripts have ever challenged the actual accuracy of the Bible's people, places, or events. Not one. You think about all this time and all these critics, how they've been just trying so hard to disprove that these things did not really occur. These places don't really exist. There was no Nineveh, or there was no... You know, there's no such thing as a Jericho, or, you know, and then they find things, and they're like, oh my goodness, look at what this says. It's talking about that very town, chiseled into this rock right here, this old piece of stone. So over and over again, it's proven out. God's word is attested to be God's word. What does that mean? It means the Bible says that it's true. That doesn't prove it, of course, but it's saying it's true. It's never saying this is a myth, or these are interesting stories that you should learn ideas from. It's always saying this is the truth. Does that make sense? So it attests to itself. It's not contradicting itself. It's actually saying this is true, and it really happened. It's speaking from the voice of history, not through a voice of myth, or, you know, a long time ago in a galaxy far, far away. It's not telling a made-up story. It's telling a true story. So Moses says that, David, the disciples, Paul, Jesus claims the Old Testament reliability and authenticity of Scripture. So you see Jesus pointing back and quoting the Old Testament, using examples from the Old Testament as if they are real events. So you have some people that are saying, you know, let's just throw out the Old Testament. All we need is the New Testament. But Jesus himself attests to the Old Testament. He uses it. He quotes it. He speaks of it as if his examples are coming from something that really happened. He doesn't say that Adam and Eve are a myth. He uses them as an example. Make sense? It attests to itself. Jesus talks about Adam and Eve, Noah and the flood, Lot, Jonah, you know, on and on. So, God will communicate with anyone who will give attention to his voice. Number one there. God will communicate with anyone who will give attention to his voice. There's been long stretches in my walk with Jesus where I don't feel like he's saying anything. And I'm going, I'm listening, but I feel like the radio frequency got fuzzy. I'm not hearing. And always that's me. He's always speaking. I mean, for instance, I have a Bible. So he's always speaking. And I come in and out of listening. Does that make sense? So I frequently kind of come in and out of paying attention, just like you probably are right now, like coming in and out of paying attention, right? You know, you're kind of thinking about something at work, or you're thinking about, that's just how life is. We do that. So, but it's not going to happen on accident. You actually have to position yourself to hear God's word. Jesus frequently would say, whoever has ears, let him hear. Now, everyone he was talking to had ears. They just weren't all listening. They didn't have ears to hear. You know, my wife's always, you know, when I was going through graduate school and I was learning a lot of counseling, communication techniques, and I would come home and I would practice them on my wife, and she would say things to me like, you're not listening to me. And I'm just like, whoa. I am a professional listener. Literally, I've been trained to listen. I am totally listening to you. And she would say, no, you're not. You're not listening. And I'd say, well, you know, you said this, you said this, you said this. And see, I was listening. And she said, but you don't care. And I was like, well, yeah, no, I don't care. Right? And so, I mean, just because you're reading your Bible doesn't mean you care. Just because you're listening to the words doesn't mean you're really listening. And she knows when I'm really listening and when I'm not really listening. The guys, they know if you're not really listening. And, you know, that you're kind of coming in and out of listening. You have to position yourself to hear God's word. You have to put yourself in that position to hear. Make sense? So let me read some scriptures from there. I lost my way here. Blessed are the pure in heart, for they shall see God, from Matthew 5. If you love purity of heart and graciousness of speech, the king will be your friend, Proverbs 22. To the hearer, all things are pure, but to them that are defiled and unbelieving, nothing is pure, but both their mind and their conscience are defiled. He who has a hearing, let him hear, Jesus would say. The sovereign Lord has given me an instructed tongue to know the word that sustains the weary. He wakens me morning by morning, wakens my ear to listen, like one being taught. The difficult thing is learning how to quiet the noise that's going on. And I think maybe it's, I don't think it's unfair to say this might be the noisiest, most distracting time in all history, with phones and emails and lights everywhere and television and news and just the amount of ideas that you consume in one day just from advertising alone fills your mind. And you think about all of that noise, trying to get hear God through it. So quieting, you know, your mind to actually be able to hear God is not an easy thing to do. You know, shutting some things down, turning some things off, making room to hear. And then, let's say you actually pull that off, you actually quiet, you know, so you can hear his voice. Then the enemy comes in, and he's really loud. And you know the difference between his voice and the Lord's, because he's always accusing and attacking and critiquing and telling you this isn't really real and God's not going to speak to you and this nothing's going to happen and you're just sitting here for no reason and you know, what about the football game and what about this? And he is just deceptive and attacking. So let's say you even do quiet your mind. Well, then you have to silence the enemy. You have to tell him to shut up. I'm telling you, you're not going to hear God unless you do both of those things. Those are just some practicals from Myron. You'll learn them again if you stay through to steps two. But quieting your mind and silencing the enemy, and then God's going to speak. He's going to speak. And so, can we listen? You know, another way that I don't see here is through people. Frequently, the Holy Spirit speaks to me through my wife. Does that happen to any other men in here? I guess it might every once in a while be true that God speaks through us men too, but definitely through our wives. And I don't know if you've experienced the same thing, or a good close friend that loves the Lord, and they'll just say one little thing and it'll just stick. It's like God speaking through that person. And it would be as if God just kind of came down and talked right to you through that person. That's why it's so important to be in relationship, so that we're really connected with other believers and we can actually hear things that God's saying through them. Always through all of these things, by the way, are filtered through the Word of God. So if you're like, man, I have this impression, but it doesn't line up with Scripture, it's not God. Or somebody comes to you and says, hey, I think God's saying this, and it doesn't line up with Scripture, it's not God. So we have a very tried and true, solid rock Word of God to look through. You know, those are our goggles, so that we can say, all right, is this me? Or is this God speaking? So, all of that is just a preparation. Do you have all your fill-in-the-blanks? Mm-hmm. I can't believe it. So you guys are ready to have a great conversation. So we're going to talk about, in groups, I presume, about God's speaking to us. Is there specific questions you wanted them to ask? Do you want the three? So what's Jesus showing you? Where's he challenging you with this? And what is Jesus wanting you to do now? So, you know, as you're thinking about, you know, how is God speaking in my life? Am I listening first? Is there room? Is the enemy so loud he can't get through? You're thinking about, what are all the ways that he's speaking to me? And what has he been saying? And am I going to do what he's saying or not? Right? So let's break into groups. There's questions are at the very bottom. Not your spouse. And about four or five. So you meet, go meet some folks. And we'll leave and we'll come back in about 20 minutes. You guys can ask me any questions you want to. So come up with some good questions in your group.